Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, November 2, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. We just got started in the exegesis, but I'm going to give you the whole verse when we finish. It sounds like this. For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, that is physical death, we keep on having a building from God, a resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 briefly summarizes what Paul had earlier written to the Corinthians about the nature of the resurrection body in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 34 to 54. And therefore, this confident assertion, we know, was based on the doctrines that Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And all throughout our study here, 2 Corinthians 5, 6, we have, therefore, we are always confident. Confident because we know the word of God that was already, that Paul already taught about the resurrection body. Knowing Bible doctrine provides the source of comfort and happiness and peace in times of physical death or any trouble or any suffering or any adversity or heartache that you will ever face in life. However, if you don't know the Word of God, well, now you're really no different than an unbeliever. You fall apart. You get afraid, fear, worry, anxiety. You see, the Word of God needs to become your very life. More important than the air that you breathe. The Lord has magnified His word over all of His names. Psalm 138, verse 2. And therefore, when you consistently and faithfully learn and believe the word of God, and it gets into your heart as wisdom, now you can face anything. You can face physical death. Physical death with inner peace. Why? Because you have the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, at home in your heart. Ephesians 3:16-19. You can face physical death because you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 1 John 2:3-5. You have developed personal love for God the Father. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. You know He is holding your hand and leading you and guiding you every step of the way, even as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you share the happiness of God. You share the happiness of God when you're living. You share the happiness of God when you're dying. And you have a personal sense of destiny. You know that you have a resurrection body that is eternal and that you will live in forever and ever. That's that phrase, for we know that. And at that point, we stop to take a look at the importance of knowing the Word of God. And we just got started on that concept, the importance of knowing the Word of God. And we started out with definition, and in definition we saw that knowing the Word of God is the basis for all true worship. Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your grace and truth. For you have magnified your word over all of your name. God always levels with us and tells us the truth in His word. Bible doctrine, the word of God, is the thinking of God. It's the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And therefore, nothing is more important than knowing what God thinks, understanding how God operates. While grace is the genius plan of God to bless us, the Word of God is the manifestation and application of that genius. The Word of God is the content of the Bible communicated by teaching and instruction. It is the careful communication of Bible subjects based on exegetical analysis from the original languages, including the context, analysis, classification of subjects, and teaching. And then we went through point two, the nomenclature for the Word of God or Bible doctrine. First we looked at the Hebrew words. There is the Hebrew word emet, which means truth or faithfulness, and this is absolute truth in contrast to false doctrine. And emet is used in Proverbs 22, verses 17 to 21, Psalm 25, 5, Psalm 26, 3, Psalm 31, 5, Psalm 86, 11, Psalm 119, 142. Emet, truth, faithfulness. A second Hebrew word for the Word of God is chokmah. Chokmah is translated wisdom. Chokmah is the Word of God that you have learned and believed and is in your heart. You have to believe the Word of God before you can apply it. When you believe the Word of God and it's in your heart, now you can apply it skillfully and accurately. That's what wisdom means. You are now applying the Word of God skillfully and accurately to your life, to any situation, to any circumstance. And that's the word wisdom. And we have the great chapter, Proverbs chapter 8, 1 through 11, where we have the personification of wisdom in that passage. Another Hebrew word is shemua, comes from the Hebrew word shama, which means to hear or to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. And therefore, shemua means what is heard, or what you concentrate on from the teaching of God's word. Isaiah 28 verse 9. And then there's the Hebrew word lekach, which means learning and teaching, used in Deuteronomy 32 verse 2, Proverbs 4, 1 and 2. And then there's the word musar, and that means what is learned through discipline and instruction. That's musar. Proverbs 1 verse 2, Proverbs 4 verse 13, Proverbs 23:23. It refers to learning the word of God as the principle by which you live your life. Those are all Hebrew words for the word of God, each kind of emphasizing a different aspect. And then we started to take a look at the Greek words that are used. And we started with the verb gnosko, and there are many words that come from that verb. The verb gnosko means to learn, to know, to come to know. From that verb, we have the noun, no, you call it gnosis, and no Greek would ever say gnosis. He would say gnosis. There are no silent letters in the Greek. But gnosis is knowledge, and that comes from gnosko. It means objective understanding in the mind of the soul. And then there's epignosis, which means the word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. Epignosis is completed knowledge, full knowledge in your heart. And then there's the verb prognosko, and the noun prognosis means doctrine in the mind of God. Doctrine which existed in eternity past in the mind of God, 1 Peter 1, 2. And then we have the word logos. There is the living logos, the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1, 1 to 3. And then there is the written logos, the word of God. Logos is the word for word, speech, thinking, doctrine, message. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. That's as far as we got on the word, but there was a couple of them, very important ones left in the Greek, didache and didaskalia. Yeah. Didache, D-I-D-A-C-H, long E, didache. Didache is often translated teaching. What is taught, the doctrines that are communicated, the instruction of the Word of God, that's didache. It's used in many passages, but let's take a look at some of them. First of all, let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 28. Matthew 7, 28. Matthew 7, verse 28 says, when Jesus had finished teaching these things, the crowds were amazed. They were amazed at his didache. They were amazed at his teaching of the Word of God, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And by the way, that's how the Word of God should be taught. It should be taught as one who has authority. Now, Jesus Christ obviously has authority. He's the eternal Son of God. But he has given the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher to a few men, males, and that carries with it authority to teach the Word of God, the absolute truth of the Word of God. They were amazed at his didache. They were amazed at his teaching of the Word of God. Turn over to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Now, in this passage, from verses 23 down to 33, the Sadducees were a group that they did not believe in the doctrine of resurrection. They did not believe in the resurrection. And look at verse 23. That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Now, they don't believe there is a resurrection. So the question that they bring to Jesus Christ is to try to trip him up. It's very hard to trip up God, you know. Verse 24, teacher. They call him teacher because they don't believe he's the Messiah. They don't believe he's the Savior. They don't believe he's the Redeemer. They just view him as a teacher. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Now, they are making this all up, of course, trying to trip up Jesus Christ. Now, there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died. And since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third brother, right on down to the seventh brother. Finally, the woman died. Now then, in the resurrection. Now, they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in it, but they're just trying to, we got you now. Now then, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? Who will she be married to in heaven? Jesus replied, you are wrong. You're in error because you do not know the scriptures. You got that right. You don't know the scriptures. You don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. At the resurrection, people will not marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, which they don't believe, now Jesus Christ is going to nail them with this one. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, which is what you would say if there's no resurrection, but he is the God of the living, because there is the doctrine of resurrection. And then turn over to 2 Corinthians. Oh, excuse me, I didn't quite finish that to get to the... I didn't read verse 33. When the crowds heard this, the Sadducees were there, but there were a lot of other people there. They were astonished at his didache, his teaching of the Word of God. His understanding, knowing, and his teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his didache. All right? Turn over to 2 Timothy 4. This has a special place in my heart. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 begins with a statement. You probably have in your translation, preach the word. I don't like the word preach. The verb there is keruso. K long E R U S S long O. Keruso. Keruso means to proclaim the policy of the king. Proclaim the policy of the king. I like the translation, proclaim the word. Proclaim the policy of the king. The word of God is the policy of the king of all kings and lord of all lords. And from the verb keruso comes one of the words for a pastor teacher, a keruks. looks like that. K long E R U K S. Kerukhs. And the Kerukhs, one of the words that describes the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, I'm a Kerukhs. And the Kerukhs is the herald for the king. And the pastor is the herald for the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's Kerukhs, the herald for the king, coming from Keruso to proclaim the policy of the king. And we have here, proclaim Keruxon ton logon. Why does that have a special place in my heart? Well, I attended Dallas Theological Seminary, and every day when we would go into chapel, there above the chapel was Keruxon ton logon. Proclaim the word. And that was how Dallas Theological Seminary was established and why it was established. It was established, Dr. Chafer, he felt handicapped because he did not know the original languages, Koine Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, and he felt handicapped. And he knew that God had given the gift of pastor-teacher to all these young men, and he didn't want them to be handicapped. And so he wanted to start a seminary to train men with the gift of pastor-teacher, to prepare them for the ministry, so that they could keruxon ton logon, proclaim the God-breathed scriptures. The God-breathed scriptures. Now, I always have three Bibles up here, but they're all translations, and they're each one different. None of these three are inspired. What's inspired is the original languages, the Koine Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic. So Dr. Chafer wanted to start a seminary and emphasize the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, so that men with the gift of pastor-teacher could go to the God-breathed scriptures and then teach with confidence and authority what God the Holy Spirit intended to be taught from that passage. And so, keruxon ton logon. And I have a brother-in-law who was an excellent welder, and he welded on me that phrase, on this metal iron, heavy iron plate, keruxon ton logon. If you want to see it, it's in my office. If you get out of line, I'll get it and throw it at you. Keruxon ton logon. Proclaim the word. Then it says, be ready in season and out of season. And of course, this is a pastoral epistle. The Apostle Paul is giving this. This is Bible doctrine for pastor teacher Timothy, whom Paul loved very, very much. Proclaim the word, be ready in season and out of season, Timothy. And now listen to what the pastor is to do. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great, and you might have the word patience. It's not the word patience. It's makrothumia. With great steadfastness, with great steadfastness and didache, teaching of Bible doctrine, teaching of the Word of God. Proclaim the Word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great steadfastness and didache, the teaching of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Turn over to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 17. Romans 6:17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be the slaves to sin, the sin nature, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching. And there's the word dedicate. The form of teaching is the absolute truth found in the Word of God. That's the form of teaching. Sound doctrinal teaching. That's the form of teaching. You wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching. Sound doctrinal teaching of the Word of God. The absolute truth of the Word of God. That's didache. Now the next word is didaskalia. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. Didaskalia. And didaskalia means the teaching of doctrine. And the best translation of didaskalia is doctrine. And this is Bible doctrine. This is doctrine. This is doctrine that is taught. The teaching of doctrine. That's didaskalia. So, I'm going to take you back to Timothy. First of all, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He's writing this to Pastor Teacher Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your didaskalia, teaching of Bible doctrine. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will deliver both yourself and those who hear you. Now, look over at verse 13. Wait, did I read the word? No, I read the wrong verse. 1 Timothy 4:6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine, and there is didaskalia, which you have been following. And doctrine, didaskalia, is modified by an adjectival participle of hugiaino. H-U-G-I-A-I-N long O. Hugiaino. So it says, hugiaino means to be healthy. To be healthy, to be in good health. And this is the word used to modify doctrine. This is healthy doctrine. This is sound doctrine. In contrast to false doctrine. So in 1 Timothy 4:6, in pointing out these things to the brethren, fellow members of the royal family of God, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine, hugiaino didaskalia, which you have been following. That's 1 Timothy 4:6. And then verse 13, until I come, give attention to the reading of Scripture, to exhortation and didaskalia, the teaching of doctrine. And then verse 16, pay close attention to yourself and your didaskalia, teaching of doctrine. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will deliver both yourself and those who hear you, listen to you. So 1 Timothy 4:6, verse 4:13, 4:16, all uses didaskalia. Now go over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And you've heard this many times. All scripture is, well, if you have inspired by God, that's a terrible translation. The Greek word there is theopneustos. T-H-E-O-P-N-E-U-S-T-O-S. Two words. Theos, God. Pneustos, breathe. The literal translation is God breathed. The God breathed scripture. All scripture is theopneustos. God breathed. And is profitable for didaskalia, profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction, profitable for training in righteousness. So we have didaskalia, 2 Timothy 3:16. Now look over to 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. I gave you verse 2. Verse 2 again. Keruxon, ton logon, proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great makrothumia, steadfastness, and didache, teaching of the word of God. Verse 3, for the time will come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Hugiaino didaskalia. Believers will not want to listen to sound doctrine. But what will they substitute? But wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And the word there is epithumia, lust patterns of their own sin nature. So, again, proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great steadfastness and teaching of the word of God. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Hugiaino didaskalia. But they will want to have their ears tickled. It's sad to say today, that's where most believers are today. They go to a church where the pastor will tickle their ears. And I'm just not going to tickle your ears. So if you're coming here to have me tickle your ears, I'm not going to tickle your ears. I'm going to teach you hugiaino didaskalia, sound doctrine. They will want their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own lust patterns, the lust patterns of their sin natures. And as a result of that, they will turn away their ears from the truth. They will turn away from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths. And sad to say, that's what believers are doing today. Turning away from the truth and turning to false doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3. Now, look at Titus. Titus 1, verse 9. Titus 1, 9. Holding fast the faithful word. And again, this is another pastoral epistle. This time written to pastor teacher Titus. Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the first word, teaching is didache, teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine, hugiaino didaskalia again, sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, true doctrine, that he may be able to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. Refute those who contradict. This is all a part of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, and that's why the Bible also says to the man who has the gift of pastor-teacher, prepare for the ministry. Prepare for the ministry so that you can fulfill what God has laid out for you in your M.O. So these were didache, didaskalia, and didaskalia modified by hugiaino, sound doctrine. And then there's the word gnostes. G-N-long-O-S-T-long-E-S. Gnostes, and that means an expert in the Word of God. An expert. And that's seen in Acts 26, verse 3. Point 3. The Word of God preexisted the human race. In fact, the Word of God is older than creation. The Word of God was around before anything was ever created. So the Word of God preexisted the human race, and the Word of God is older than creation. Turn over to Proverbs 8 again, the personification of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8, starting at verse 22. Now, Proverbs chapter 8, the entire chapter is the personification of wisdom. Wisdom is the word for the word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart, that you can apply skillfully and accurately to your life. And here we have the fact that the word of God is older than creation itself. Verse 22, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. And of course, this is the personification of wisdom. Wisdom is the one doing the talking here. The Lord brought me, wisdom, forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old, before all of the creation. Who's the creator of all things? Jesus Christ. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. So the Word of God preceded all creation. The Word of God is older than all creation. When there were no oceans, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he, Jesus Christ, made the earth, creation of planet earth, or its fields, or any of the dust of the world, before that, the Word of God was before, older than all creation. I was there when he set the heavens in place. The Word of God was before the creation of the heavens, the creation of the earth. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I, at that, in other words, at creation, I was the craftsman at his, the Lord Jesus Christ's side. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day watching the creation of the universe by Jesus Christ, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. So first, the Word of God is older than creation, pre-existed all creation. Proverbs 8:22-31. And attitude toward the Word of God determines whether the believer is blessed or disciplined in time. Look at Proverbs 8:33-36. Proverbs 8:33, again, this is still in the chapter on the personification of wisdom. Verse 33, listen to my instruction and be wise. My instruction to wisdom, the word of God, and be wise. Do not ignore it. Happiness is to the man who listens to me, the word of God. Watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, consistent and faithful, learning and believing of God's word. For whoever finds me, wisdom, finds life, capacity for life, and receives grace, greater grace, kesed, greater grace blessings from the Lord. But, verse 36, whoever fails to find me, the word of God, harms himself. That's discipline from the Lord. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, and eventually dying discipline. All who hate me, the word of God, love death. And death there is the sin unto death. So attitude toward the Word of God determines whether the believer is blessed or disciplined in time. Point four. The Word of God must be more real to you than empirical knowledge. The Word of God must be more real to you than empirical knowledge. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1, we'll start at verse 12. Second Peter 1, verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth that you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory. It's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside. He knows he's about to die. He knows he's going to go through physical death real soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, and that's how he describes his physical death, his departure, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Physical death is a departure. After my departure, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord, you will always be able to remember these things. Pastors come and pastors go. Communicators come and communicators go. I'm here today, I might not be here tomorrow. But the Word of God goes on, God's plan goes on, and it doesn't mean everything stops when the communicator goes. Paul was present and Paul was gone. Peter was present and Peter was gone. And he knows he's about to be gone. And after Paul was gone, well, then there was Timothy and there was Titus. They had learned all these doctrines from Paul, and they kept teaching and went passed on to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. Peter was here, learned these things and passed them on, and now they're learned and passed on again and again and again. Verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses. We were there. Peter said, I was there. And I saw Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father. When the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Peter was there. He said, I saw this. I was there. Of course, Peter saw these things with his own eyes, and then he made the wrong application half the time, and the Lord had to say, get behind me, Satan, you know. Which proved that you can see things with your own eyes, and there's something that's far more sure than that. And that is the Word of God. And that's what Peter's trying to say here. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. But we have an even more sure prophetic word. We have the even more sure prophetic word. Prophetic word of God. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So Bible doctrine must be more real to you than empirical knowledge. Peter says, I was there, I saw these things, and I made the wrong application. But we have the even sure prophetic word of God. Bible doctrine is more real than anything else in life to the mature believer. Point five. Lack of Bible doctrine in your soul will destroy a nation. Lack of the Word of God in the soul of believers will destroy a nation. Turn over to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. They have turned away from God. The same thing that's going on in America today. Turning away from God and His Word. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no emet. There is no truth. No doctrinal orientation. There is no kesed. No grace orientation. There is no acknowledgement of God in the land. Sounds like America, doesn't it? There is only cursing and lying and murder and stealing and adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns. That was Israel. But because of that, the United States of America mourns. And all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another, judging, slandering, maligning. For your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. That is rejection of spiritual authority and the communication of the word of God by God's faithful servants. Verse 5. You stumble day and night, and the false prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. Not your mother, but the mother here is the nation. So I will destroy your nation. My people are destroyed from lack of the word of God. Lack of knowledge. Lack of Bible doctrine. Because you have rejected the word of God. Knowledge. Because you have rejected Bible doctrine, I also reject you as my priest nation. Because you have ignored the law of your God, the word of God, I also will ignore your children. So lack of Bible doctrine destroys a nation. Point 6. Bible doctrine is a part of the principle of logistical grace. Bible doctrine is a part of the principle of logistical grace. Okay, what do we got up here, Cliff? So why does it come up? This is an arrogant... This is an arrogant...
Can I borrow your pointer there for just a minute? I'm just going to hit that X and close it out real quick. Same thing there. We're good. Sorry for the interruption.
Did I hit anything here?
No. That was...
It's got a mind of its own?
Yes, sir.
Bad. The word of God is a part of the principle of logistical grace. At that moment, you come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ. The justice of God imputes to each one of us the righteousness of God. And that establishes a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline, at the very instant of faith in Christ, 40 salvation blessings come to you instantly. And then every single day, every day after that, God sends logistical grace, blessing and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. And that is your temporal security. Temporal security. And it comes to all believers. Baby believers, adolescent believers, mature believers, reversionistic believers, all believers. It comes day after day after day. Temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why? So that somewhere along the line you'll realize God's plan didn't stop at salvation. The gun went off at salvation. You just got out of the blocks. Now you have a marathon, a spiritual marathon to run. From salvation to physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. Now, what is God's plan after salvation? To grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to advance to spiritual maturity, to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, to glorify God to the maximum. That's why God gives you logistical grace. All believers, temporal security, so that you can come to that point where the light goes on and you go, hey, I need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you find a sound Bible teaching church. and you consistently and faithfully assemble in that sound hugiaino didaskalia church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And when you do that, now God is free to send down that pipeline, greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessing for all eternity that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. The Word of God is a part of the principle of logistical grace. God keeps us alive so that we can learn and believe His Word, so that we can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that we can glorify God to the maximum. And logistical grace includes food, it includes shelter, it includes clothing, it includes money, it includes transportation, it includes protection, it includes the Bible, it includes the pastor, it includes the local church. All of this is a part of logistical grace. And I was here, my office is down on this end, and I was studying away, and then I hear some knocking all the way down at this door, down here. And I thought, well, they'll go away. It's just very hard for me to get from there to there fast. And it continued, knock, 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 knocking louder and louder. I thought, okay, maybe it's Debbie. She forgot her key. I don't know. I got up and opened the door, and there was a lady. And she had gotten back in her car, but she came back out again. And I've had many, many, many people come, and I've heard all these stories. I can say it better than they can. But she wanted money. And so I got a gospel booklet, and I gave her the gospel booklet. I said, ma'am, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Yes. She said, I believe in God. I said, well, I'm not saying, do you believe in God? Satan believes in God. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the only Savior? He went to the cross for you. When he went to the cross, he was thinking about you. And all of your sins were poured out on him and judged in him once and for all. And if you simply believe in Jesus Christ, that he paid the penalty for all your sins, he gives you the gift of eternal life, and he gives you his righteousness. She says, yes, I believe that. I said, okay. When he gives you his righteousness, he establishes the grace pipeline. And he sends down that grace pipeline to you. Not only 40 salvation right at the moment of faith in Christ, but every day, logistical grace, blessing, and support. And that means you don't have to go around to churches and beg. If it's the first time I've seen the person, I always give them some money. I gave her some money. I said, if you have believed in Christ as your Savior, you don't have to go around and beg anywhere to any church, because you have a grace pipeline and God gives you logistical grace. He gives you food, he gives you shelter, he gives you clothing, he gives you money, he gives you transportation, he gives you protection. And David said, I have never seen the righteous go hungry. And you won't go hungry. God will provide for you. David said, I have never seen the righteous go hungry. What is that? Because logistical grace comes to the righteous day after day after day after day. The Word of God is a part of the principle of logistical grace. Not only is there food, shelter, clothing, money, transportation, protection, but also the Bible, a pastor, and a local church where you can get hugaino didaskalia, sound doctrinal teaching. The Word of God is an essential part of our logistical grace provision and our advance to spiritual maturity. Look over at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, at the end of verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, For the benefit of his body is Christ's body, which is the church universal, the royal family of God. So for the benefit of his body, which is the church, I, Paul, have become its servant by the commission God gave to me. Why? To present to you the Word of God in its fullness. To present to you the Word of God in its fullness. Verse 29. To this end, I labor. I am striving according to His power, which is so powerfully working in me. Turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders. These are the pastors, pastor teachers, who communicate the Word of God to you. Carefully consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith, their doctrine, their body of doctrine that they have learned to believe. Verse 17. Obey your leaders, pastors, and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be unprofitable for you. And then turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, temporary spiritual gift of communication, and some as prophets, another temporary spiritual gift of communication. They were necessary before the New Testament of Scripture was written, but after the New Testament of Scripture was written, they ceased. And some evangelists, permanent spiritual gift of communication, and some, and it's one gift, Granville Sharp, rule of grammar, two nouns in the same case, connected by chi, first one has the definite article, second one doesn't, it's talking about one person, not two different ones. And some as pastor teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, edification, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge, completed knowledge, epinosis knowledge of the Son of God, occupation with Jesus Christ, to a mature man, spiritual maturity, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So the Word of God is an essential part of our logistical grace provision for our advance to maturity, along with the gift of pastor teacher and the local church. All right. The importance of the Word of God. The importance of knowing the Word of God. We'll pick it up again for this point next time. Father, we thank you for your grace, sir. We ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives, for we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.